I don't know if you've noticed, but we have some pretty cool people in our congregation. We've got a wealth of talent, gifting. And so for the next few weeks, we've actually invited a few different people from among us to come and share with us as we crack open the Bible. And the first person is going to be Richard Kerridge. So some of you know Richard and some of you don't, but I thought I'd take the opportunity to introduce him, even though I'm terrible at introducing people. I think we've established that, but me and Richard used to work together at Harvest, and it was actually one of my fondest memories of Richard. It was actually quite a prideful, narcissistic moment on my account, is that I had just taken on a new job at Harvest, and I had to give up some of the classes that I was teaching, which I loved to teach. And there were some theology classes which I had been treasuring teaching. And one of the reasons I was treasuring teaching them is because I was working for a fairly conservative college as kind of like an underground sleeper agent, teaching a mildly progressive gospel. And so I was quite reluctant to hand over my classes, lest they revert back to conservatism. And so me and Richard was someone that was suggested, maybe Richard could take over the classes. I didn't really know Richard very well. So we invited him into my office, we sat down, we had a chat. And about halfway through the conversation, we both had this beautiful revelation that we were completely and entirely on the same page. And it was this kind of moment where I feel like we really connected because he agreed with me. That's the subtle undertone, I guess, of what I'm saying. But that's not the moral of the story, although it sounds like that's the moral of the story. But anyway, over the years, me and Richard have spent time working together and sort of becoming friends. And Richard joined West City about a year ago now with his family, and it's been great to have him here. And he brings a wealth of experience pastoring churches, leading denominations, and preaching up a storm wherever he goes. And so I think we're in good hands. So why don't we welcome up Richard. Thank you for sharing this morning.
Thank you, John. That wasn't a bad introduction at all, actually. That was quite good. Well, it's what a privilege it is to always, you know, it's a pretty major thing to be trusted to share something, and they don't really know you that well because, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get. But hopefully it will be in tune with what John agrees with, and then we'll be okay. We travelled over from the east, Melbourne, to Perth about 3.5 years ago. We wanted to be over here for my wife's mum's last years, and that was wonderful that we could be here. And so here we are now over with the Sandgropers, and we had had quite a journey, and I want to share a little bit about the journey. Just a little bit about, is my family here yet? I don't know if they've made it here. Oh, there they are, over there. They came along as well. Diane, my wife, she's a counsellor and works for the Australian Institute of Family Counselling. And Laura, she's a social worker with Centre Care. And there's Katie, who's a singer musician, but mainly a mum with our little granddaughter, Eliza, there. And so we got over here, and one of the major difficulties we had was finding a church. See, I, you know, been the pastor for 40 years. And so, you know, it's suddenly you find yourself as a member of the congregation. And you sit there looking and judging. No, and, you know, so it's been a very interesting journey. And I want to share a little bit about the journey. And also I need to share a little bit about the topic that John gave me to talk about, and so we had to fit that in somehow. But the topic he gave was basically surrender, as a result of the Sermon on the Mount and the teachings there, and how, you know, out of that comes a desire to surrender to God. And, you know, a life of surrender, to a lot of people, that's not a very appealing idea, to surrender. You know, when you surrender, you're surrendering usually to someone who's, you know, caught you, and you're unconditional surrender. You lost the war and now you're surrendered, and who knows what's going to happen. And I think even as Christians, we have that idea. Sometimes, would you like to just come down the front now and surrender? Well, you know, here's a person coming down. They're not really too sure what's going on. And they're going to surrender to somebody and to a church who's now going to, what are people you surrender to, what do? They control your life. You know, they're dictators. They tell you what to do. And so surrender can have numbers of interesting meanings. It's changed significantly for me over my Christian life. Surrender initially meant to be more religious and involved in more religious activities. The more, the better. And so you just are frantically going about surrendering and to show that you are a well-surrendered Christian. And if the pastor says there's something we can do, you surrender to him and you go and do it until you burn out. But I've come to understand that surrendering is something a little bit different to that. It's really, as I've surrendered into a knowledge of who God is. And so I'm surrendering into somebody who is so different to the image of a dictator. But yet there are still elements of past teachings there. But I would think that now, as I surrender, I'm surrendering, and this is what I've called this little message, I'm surrendering into liberty. I'm surrendering into love. I'm surrendering into something that will make me freer, not bind me more, and hope to be able to show a few verses to back up what I'm saying. You know, I've been around, John mentioned, you know, in charge of this and pastoring that and so forth, and my life has taken me beyond anything I could have ever expected. And sometimes way above my expectations and sometimes way below my expectations. I've been to places I would never have chosen. I think I've had a few mountaintops. I've had a lot of valleys. I've been on slippery slopes and in some boring plains. I've been fired up at times. And, you know, I can get fired up, but I've also been browned off. And in the end, as a pastor, I got burnt out. And that wasn't pleasant at all. And I was thinking about this morning. One way I would describe myself is I'm a recovering religious addict. Right? I was a religious addict early on, and I'm still a recovering one. And every now and again, my family particularly, they're less religious than me and remind me if I'm being religious. And so, but I am recovering, and I continue that I have to recover from this wrong concept of what it is to be fully committed to God, which I found is sometimes not being fully committed to God, it's fully committed to the church and fully committed to a certain type of thing that we want to do. And it kills us, but when we surrender to God, it enlivens us. It should. It frees us. It increases us. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've been to Pentecostals, Charismatics, Anglicans, Catholics, Independents, Codependents, the whole lot. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. But here I am now in this journey at West City. Who would have ever imagined that? I have a friend who was the director of the Churches of Christ in Tasmania and Victoria. And we used to meet regularly for coffee. And he just thinks it's the funniest thing that here I am sitting in a Church of Christ congregation now. And because, you know, I was at that stage the leader of a Pentecostal movement, sort of Pentecostal. And but here I am and very happy to be here. And it is wonderful. This is a lovely church that you are part of. And if you've just visited us here, just keep coming. It'll gradually seep into you. Surrendering to God. I think this is, anybody know, like the Eagles? That's a pop a group that's been around for a long time. Yeah. Of course, over here, I forget I was in the West. The Eagles mean something else altogether, doesn't it? But I like the Eagles, and I think one of the Eagles songs speaks to me very much, Take It Easy. Take It Easy. And I've had to learn to take it easy. Another song that has helped me has been from West Side Story, Cool, Play It Cool. Play It Cool. because, you know, I can sometimes not be cool. And like, cool, play it cool. And one of the things is easy action, you know, because action was the guy who used to want to get into action and take it easy, action. Play it cool. Just be cool. I think God said, come on, be cool. Just settle down. Take it easy. And I'm learning that, and it's a much happier life for me and for those around me. As I started coming along here, I started to hear some things that I really liked, bore witness to me. I love, someone said once in one of the messages, in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, in all things charity. Some have attributed that to Augustine and to other people. But I like that. And I think there's some things that as we traveled around and ended up coming back here, we started to think, gee, yeah, there's some things here that really enable us to feel free. We don't feel like we're going to be bound. You see, we did travel around and look at a few churches. Now, one, and I will not mention any names, not even say whether it was north or south of the river, but we went to one where they actually had our names down on the list before we entered the church. The email addresses, and so they were gung-ho to get us in. Now, they don't know who we were, and we don't know who they are. They might not have liked us, and we don't know if we would have liked them, probably not that much, at least what they were doing. And it was hyped up, and it was there. And we came here and felt there was none of that. In fact, we were coming along here for quite a few weeks, and we were thinking, who's the pastor? I got quite a surprise to find it was this big guy called Phil. And that was quite unusual because he wasn't sitting in the front row. He wasn't always up there. In fact, some weeks he never said anything. And we like that as well. It was something, you know. John, be careful. That we met John and Kelly, and we chatted, and I think as we started to hear about this amazing place, we just kept on, we'll come, and we did come, and we're glad that we came. And we love the humility, the openness, the willingness to be wrong, to give people a go. We really enjoy the little snippets at communion. Those little, I've heard communion sermons for years, and I don't think we've ever come to a place where just to hear someone share a little thought, personal thought that's meant so much to us. We've loved the table and that whole concept of coming. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. We just want to invite you. It was inclusive. We love that. Because more and more, this made us feel free. This made me feel easy. This was cool. This wasn't frantic, fanatic activity forcing me to either come or go. It seemed like peace. It seemed like Jesus. And so we became more and more attracted to coming along here. Love the confession at the end that we're going to go out and we're going to be Jesus. Even to those that don't like us. Wow, how wonderful. We started to see there was some social activity taking place to help those in need, and we like that. So here we are, here. Looking for a place to fellowship. Finding the right direction in life is not that easy. And I think we've appreciated being free to make a decision. Free to allow the filter of God to filter things. I'm a strong believer in that God's got some filters. Some, you could call it an oil gauge, you could call it a safety net that stops us swallowing toxic substances, this filter. It stops us burning out, and it stops us getting bound. And so you gave us time to allow things to filter through until we could say, yeah, I think That's where we'll go. All we want to say is keep on doing that. Keep on allowing people, trusting the Holy Spirit, trusting him that he will do what he wants to do. And we humans can do his part rather than leaving his part to him and doing the part he wants us to do, which is mainly to love people. Amen. This is my filter. Does it look like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it taste like Jesus as he's revealed in the Gospels? If it does, that's good. Could be right. Looks like it's on the right track. Does it have the fruit of the Holy Spirit? From Galatians 4:22. Does it have joy, love, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness? Do those fruits seem to be growing in the thing that you're going to connect yourself with or be involved in, or the idea that's being presented? Does it reflect the love of God as revealed through God's definition of love through Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We see it's very similar to the fruit of the Spirit. Obviously, it would be. And where there's kindness and patience and love and these types of attributes. There's nothing about pressure and condemnation and fear and manipulation. And of course, the thing that was my great love is Trinitarian theology. That for many years, I believed in the Trinity in a mathematical way. You know, that the Trinity was a very interesting mathematical calculation. It was three in one, and one is three, and we draw diagrams to describe how it was three and one. And I never really got hold until some years ago that it actually was to do with that God is relational. That it's so great to know that the Creator who's always has been, and he is relational at his very core. I like to put my things through that sift. I think theology is really important. An increasing understanding of who the Lord is results in an increasing willingness to surrender to him. An increasing understanding of who the Lord is results in an increasing willingness to surrender to him. I love to teach theology because it helps us live better, helps people to live more beautifully, with greater freedom. As a pastor, I didn't think much of theology because it got in the way. Didn't have time to find out who God was. We had a program that had to be met, budget that had to be met, and great things that had to be done. And we couldn't give room to just really find out who our God is. And I discovered that Paul's prayers were all about having a spirit of wisdom and understanding in knowing who he is. And out of that knowledge of him and experience of him, we then are motivated to go and do the things. And it will always be actions of love and actions of peace, and that with the fruit of the Spirit. Pretty simple. Our theology, what we believe about God, will determine how we live our life. Good theology helps us on our journey and gives us confidence to hand over to the Lord. You see, then surrender. I can surrender to someone who is amazingly gracious and merciful and loving and kind and liberating. Oh, I can surrender to that. I'm not too sure, particularly as the years have gone by, I don't want to surrender to something else. You see, people rush in. How do cults form? See, in the old understanding of surrender, cults are it. You commit yourself completely to whatever the leaders say. And if it's prayer, it's prayer, until people have no will of their own and they go beyond anything that God does, because God gives us free will, but you'll find humans in the place of God don't give us free will. They will use fear and manipulation and all types of things to try to get us to do what they want us to do. And then we become part of it and become just like them. where God, I find, is a wonderfully liberating, beautiful person. Malcolm Fraser said life wasn't meant to be easy. I think I agree with him. The world is dark and we need a light. The world is hard to live in and we need a helper, and it's pretty dangerous. We need a navigator. And because it's not easy, we need that, because we are created. We are created to live a life with him, navigating, with him suggesting, with him helping, but never demanding and never forcing. That's the amazing thing that God has done, giving us a free will to choose. 1 John 4:18. I think there's a verse we've got here, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but the perfect love of God casts out all fear. There's no fear. Who is love? God is love. It just says a few verses earlier, God is love. So if God, if there is no, there is no fear in God, but the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And unfortunately, we religious addicts were dominated by fear. Fear became a big factor, and we called it other things. And I am so happy that I am becoming freer and freer and freer, and therefore finding it easier and easier to be surrendered to him. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." And I sort of see this like a picture of a little kid walking through an area they don't know, with people and all types of things going on, but they have hold of mum and dad's hand. And so we've got hold of his hand. And he's got our hand, and we can walk through in this journey. And that is a wonderful contentment, to know he'll hold our hand, he'll walk with us. We don't have to fear. Matthew 11:28-30. In the Message version. Now this is the message I really want to just repeat. It's the message that is so important to my life and has been for many years, and I'm growing in the understanding of it. Are you tired? Worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, this is what Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. See, I'm a recoverer. I'm a recovering addict. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I've learned. You see, we have to learn something, because the old way of doing it hard to get God's blessing, you go, no, there's another way. Learn. It's unforced. It's free will. It's absence from legalism and control and fear. And it has a rhythm about it. It's God's timing. It's not about little, dotting every I and crossing every T. It's living according to a rhythm of life that we were created to be. We're all so unique and we all have a rhythm. Even scientifically, there's a rhythm that we all have, and God wants us to walk in the rhythm that he created us, not to be all according to the same beat, all in the same uniform. I love that. Not ill-fitting. It's grace-filled. I used to run a bit of an athlete, and we used to have an expect. Sometimes you run in the zone, or you play in the zone. You get into the zone. And when you're in the zone, the ball comes to you. You're in the zone. And I think God wants us in the zone. And you're in the zone when you're doing what you were created to do. When you are being who you are. When you're not trying to be somebody else. You're finding out that God works with you in a unique way. And you get in the zone and it's easy. And it's not, whoa, I like that. I want to be in the zone because I've also played football and been out of the zone. And it's really difficult because you're wherever the ball is, you aren't. But like, not like the Eagles at present. They seem to be where in the right place. So life is hard enough without religion putting something extra on me. Now, there's a lot of heavy burdens, a lot of difficulties in life just because we're in this world. And the last thing people want is then an added one that we put on them and say, now you're a Christian, here's an added burden and here's an added thing. So if you come down the front and surrender to Jesus right now, it'll be wonderful, except it won't. Because I've seen from experience many burnt out young people who've been fanatical. They loved God, they came down the front and surrendered themselves, and a few years later they're burnt out and they don't want anything to do with the church. But unfortunately, God gets the blame. How sad. So are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to Jesus, recognize him. He's easy to recognize. You'll recover your life. You'll get a real rest. And I'm learning that, and it's wonderful. If there's anything that I've wanted to just share in out my journey, it's that journey out of religion and into liberty. So, John, if it's surrendering, I will surrender into that. But if it is to pray more, write the Bible more, witness more, turn up more, more, I might not be there. But if Jesus is there, and peace is there, and liberty is there, and love is there, wow, I want to be involved in that. I'm surrendered. Can we pray? Lord, I am thrilled to surrender to you. I'm sorry, Lord, that so many times I've been surrendered, thinking it was being surrendered to you, but it was just surrendered to an institution, to a vision, to something that didn't have you at the heart of it. And I'm sorry for that, Lord, and sorry even for teaching that to people and giving a wrong impression. But Lord, I thank you that you give me opportunity now to share what I think is something much, much better. A surrender into your liberty. So we're far more capable of doing whatever you call us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.